this week on Video Death Loop. Rattle me bones. You can use your skill to take what you will. You can take your... Plus, what did you call that again? Hey everybody, welcome to Video Death Loop, the podcast where we watch a short video clip on loop until we just can't take it anymore. I am your host this week, Aaron Littleton, and with me is your co-host in life, John Hurst. How we doing, John?
present and accounted for on there in life. What does that mean, Aaron?
Co-host of life? Yeah, you're just a guy?
Am I responsible for co-hosting all of life?
Not every living organism, right? But just all of our listeners. Good. Okay, you get one day of John being your co-host, which means you're just kind of there supporting them the entire day, right? Like from the minute they wake up, like you just kind of do everything they do, but like a little bit. Couple steps behind.
Okay.
A little bit worse everything. Like they get out of bed, you've been in a sleeping bag on the floor. All right.
Like do I sneak in like Santa Claus or something? Go down the chimney?
Yeah, it's a whole Santa Claus situation. It's down the chimney. I suppose you don't have magic Santa powers that get you down a chimney. So
no, I have to drive like an Impreza.
John drives his Impreza to your house after you've fallen asleep. He breaks a window in the kitchen.
Yeah.
He comes slithering in with his sleeping bag.
I'm not responsible for that window, by the way. So
Nope. But just the whole day, you're just kind of back and to the left a little bit.
Okay.
And, whatever they do, you're just there to support them, right? Like if they're having an argument, you just chime in every now and then. Like, yeah.
I'm on their side.
I mean, he's right. Yeah, you're always on their side.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Just support someone, John. Support someone. That's all you have to do.
I get that. And that's a good service to do. But I imagine like eventually I'm just going to get over like someone extremely racist and I'm not going to agree to that person. I'm going to back away. I'm going to obscure my co-hosting abilities for a little bit.
Okay. Listen, I said it was only Video Death Loop listeners. Okay. Oh, okay. All Video Death Loop listeners are cool. Okay. If you're not cool, don't listen to this podcast. We don't fucking want you here.
Yeah. No, I thought you said the world. I'm sorry.
No. Just the podcast. Just the Beatles.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want John to be your co-host for the day,
I will break your window.
Send us an email, questions@videodeathloop.com. It's like, can John be my co-host for the day? I've got a stressful meeting at work, and I just need someone standing behind me, you know, and a suit. Not a fancy suit, just that sort of a nondescript, you know, sort of suit. You know, you're not going to be out of place in the business world, but you're also not drawing any attention because that's what a co-host does. You're supportive.
Yeah, blending in.
Yeah, you're with them. Why is this guy in here? He's my co-host today, and he's going to be here while I show you the quarterlies.
Yeah, they're presenting and be like, it's like, hi, I'm Jim Veedle, and I go, I respond, and I'm your co-host. I'm John Hurst, on there.
Just so you know, I don't have any specific information about this quarter, but I promise you, this is going to be a great presentation.
Yeah. Just kind of like backing them up, kind of giving them the confidence, the boost they need to get through the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's a business, right? Like that's a business.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty substantial business at that point. Like a little heavy on the travel, depending on where our Vito listeners are. But
you're willing to go that far, though.
I'm willing to break windows is honestly why that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. He's in as long as he can break your window.
If you don't have any windows, I'm sorry, we'll find something else to break, but you know.
Have you ever broken a window? Like on purpose or accidental?
Have I ever? You know, definitely I've broken like a mirror, like a hand mirror before.
Like on purpose?
On accident, usually. Usually like, you know, kind of like dropped or something, but
was this within 7 years?
No.
Okay, so your bad luck has decreased.
Yeah, like significantly, like during the childhood or something like that.
Okay.
What is a mirror? But what is a mirror but a window to the soul? Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've, outside of like, you know, trying to like, if there was something I needed to trash, like when I was cleaning up a place, like breaking a window from there or accidentally breaking some glass, I don't think I have.
Okay.
Definitely known people who have, like, to, like, or, like, been in situations where, like, someone has called me asking for, like, if I was going to be home soon they forgot the key, and then, like, another voicemail saying, never mind, we broke the window to get in.
There you go.
So I've not been involved, but I heard about it afterwards, yeah. And I saw the details.
I don't know if I've broken a window. I did rip the screen out of my window when I was a kid, like on purpose, because we had locked ourselves out of the house, and my dad was trying to, like, I don't know, like break into the house or whatever. And I'm like, right. Well, I'll just go up and like bust through the window in my room, because it was like there's a porch right outside my door or my window of my room. And so I went up there and I ripped my screen off out of the window. I'm like, Dad, look, I've got the screen off. And he's like, stop. He's locked out of the house. This child is destroying a window. Yeah. He never replaced it. Never. I learned.
I've ripped a banister off the, like a stair banister off the wall once.
Yeah.
That was me as a kid trying to be having fun in gymnastics, like just really into like wanting to hang off the side of this banister and not realizing my own strength.
Yeah.
And I just like kind of popped off the wall. It felt pretty good, actually. Not going to lie.
Did you get in trouble?
I got into a little bit of trouble, I think they were like, it's like, hey, we're going to replace it anyway. So just kind of did them a favor.
Yeah. That's the kind of house you want to go and be destructive in. It's like, hey, we're about to do a remodel. Yeah, absolutely. We got to take that wall out anyway.
You ever done like a rage room or anything like that, Aaron?
I've seen a sign for a rage room, but I've always just kind of assumed it's not as cool as it sounds.
It's kind of so, not.
What I mean, I would need, I'll say this, if there was a rage room, I would need a certain number of vases that I could break in the rage room. And I'm guessing there are not many vases in the rage room.
There's only so many vases you can buy in the day, I think, or go to, how many times you can go to Old Pottery in a month?
Yeah.
Before they start getting suspicious and think you're going to break all their pottery.
I'm trying to think. I think I've always looked at the rage rooms, and I've imagined like, oh man, it'd be cool to like break vases. And I know there's a number, but I'm not 100% sure what that number is. It might be 2, which I know seems like a weird number, but I feel like, you know, you have 2 vases to break. I think that's probably enough.
Yeah.
I don't think you need 3. I think at that point you're just kind of showing, you're just breaking vases just to break a vase. You're not still mad.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're Link, you only need 2 extra hearts. Those vases are going to have your heart covered. So
what's in a rage room? It sounds like you've been in a rage room.
I've actually not participated in a rage room. I've just seen one at the places where I've hosted events, and they would have a rage room or try to start one. And I was just like, I walked in there and was just immensely disappointed in the amount of surely there should be more to rage about in this room. There should be it just felt like an unfinished room, honestly. Like, you know, having some wooden barriers and, you know, it's like some things that were like already a little bit broken because someone raged in it previously
Previous rage.
Yeah. It felt very much like less like a rage room and more like an unfinished room.
Okay. Basically. Do you at least get like a hammer, like a big sledgehammer?
Yeah, you get a hammer and stuff. I know, like, you know, sometimes at the fair they do like the stuff where you know, get an old beater car and you know, bring a sledgehammer and you pay like a couple of county fair tickets and go with like sledgehammer. That's what I want to do instead. But the rage room just felt like I was very underwhelmed.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that all of my instincts, my consumer instincts, are like, that's not worth the money. You have a space. You have a yard. You can swing a hammer around in your yard if you get mad.
I mean, we could buy a vase. I mean, like, if we get together anytime soon, we could just buy two vases.
We could buy a couple of vases, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Just smash the shit out of them.
Set a little bonfire.
Down by the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
I don't want to clean them up. Anything goes down by the railroad tracks.
Yeah. No, there's no laws.
There's no laws on the railroad. I think there's like a whole other law entity that determines laws on the railroad. The railroad.
Everything is off the rails by the railroad except what's on the rail, which is the train. Don't go near the train. The train's dangerous.
All right. Well, John, we have we do have a thing on this podcast we do where we watch a video on loop until one of us can't take it anymore. As the host, I have picked it out as my very supportive co-host for the day. John has stood behind me in a $80 suit and told me I did a good job.
I believe in you every step of the way. You're doing great, Aaron. Keep doing it.
But he does not know what it is. So I am going to start this video, and we're going to start watching on loop in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, let's see what we got here. Oh, it's a treasure map. The title, Rattle Me Bones. Hold on. Was this a board game or something?
It was
in
a board game. It was totally a board game in the 80s where you tried to steal things from a skeleton man. And if you if you touched him too much, he would like do this silly dance and he would have rattled his bones.
Oh, that's wow.
These kids are on a pirate ship.
Okay.
And there is a couple skeletons, actually. Pretty cool skeletons, I gotta say.
Yeah, they're kind of hanging out with the skeletons. It seems like a nice day.
And then, except there is a tiny skeleton that they're stealing from.
Right.
And it's kind of like Operation, right? Where you've got to take things out of the game. Mm-hmm. If you touch it in a weird way, then the game lets you know. And in this way, it's a little skeleton man doing a dance.
Yeah, it's going like ah, it's kind of shaking about like something would be like for like a Halloween decoration.
Yeah,
It's got one of those wheels that like you steer the steering wheel for the ship. What is that called?
John, let me tell you something. A few years ago, I was trying to think of the word that is the steering wheel for the ship, like an old wooden ship. And I was confident there was one. And I could not come up with it. It's like a hole in the English language that we all sort of sense there should be a word for. But there isn't.
It's a wheel for the ship.
It's like a ship's wheel. There's no word for it. You know, it's like it feels like it'll be the scoochum. Quick, grab the scoochum and turn us away from this reef.
They got a goddamn word for everything else in nautical terms.
Yeah, not the ship's wheel. It's just like the ship's steering wheel. I think. I was unable to find one.
Yeah, it's either ship's wheel, ship's steering wheel, but it's either not like, you know, like starboard or port or knots or anything like that. And it doesn't have anything like that. Aaron, can we make one? Can we? We're going to make the nautical term for a ship's wheel. Why don't we do that?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
What would you say first? Like a scoochum?
I said scoochum, but I mean, that's clearly not. We can have that kind of on the list.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can't vote for scoochum ultimately. It's just too silly.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think it would probably not hurt to like review some of the other nautical terms we know just to like see if we can get, you know, like a vibe. Like a nautical, like what a word for a, you know, a thing on a ship could sound like, right? Like, where's our possibility space for this to fit in? You know,
right.
You've got like the mast, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a term.
You got a crow's nest on that mast.
You got a crow's nest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got, like you suggested, starboard, port, aft. There's another one. The other deck. One.
Poop deck. Yeah,
poop deck. You got a poop deck. Poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got
swashbuckler. Is that a term or is that like?
I mean, it's on a ship, but it's not really part of a ship.
Mm.
Although, if it was a skeleton is kind of, you know, it's potentially part of the ship, right?
Right.
You know, you've got a winch, like not like a you know, pirate lady, but like a winch, like that you use to raise the sails. Sails, by the way, sails.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Mizzen masts and booms. Okay, I guess what we're getting is like they're just kind of all over the place. Like you just kind of know it when you hear it.
Yeah, like that sounds shippy enough.
Yeah, it's fine. You got a bilge. A bilge.
Oh, yeah.
I love saying bilge. You got the forecastle.
Is a keel part of
a keel is definitely part of a ship. Is it just called a figurehead? Like the, you know, like the little like mermaid sculpture they have at the front of a ship commonly in media.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I would call it a figurehead.
The hold.
I'm not sure. The hold. Yep. Yeah, you gotta hold stuff in the hold.
All right. So I think we've established we know quite a few nautical terms.
We know more about like nautical terms than we do most things. Actually, yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
It's kind of weird. How have you ever sailed a ship or a boat, John?
No, I have driven a speedboat before, but they have none of those things.
Yeah,
I've driven an Evinrude.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a kayak. I mean, that's a boat.
Yeah.
Kind of. But I've driven a ski boat and a pontoon boat and that sort of jet ski.
Yeah, that's a kind of a boat.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is somehow, even having never like been an old-timey sailor, we still know quite a bit about these kinds of ships.
Okay.
So I think we're well positioned to come up with the word for a ship's wheel. I feel like it's got to be something that does have a, it's like has an abrupt ending, you know, when you think about it. Mast. Mm-hmm. Like it just ends in a very sharp mast. Deck.
Right.
Bilge. Like it, you know, there's an efficiency to the language.
Right, right. You gotta have a bunch of words that you gotta say really quick in the storm.
Yeah,
just to be able to turn the ship's wheel. That's already too many words.
Yeah, you can't be like exactly. Turn the ludonarrative dissonance. It's too long. The ship's sank. It's at the bottom of the ocean by that.
Yeah,
time.
You're not learning anything through that narrative play.
No, not at all. So it's short, sharp, kind of punchy. Sounds good when a skeleton says it.
Yeah, that's important. You got to make sure that like any undead crewmen come back and can say it, and you get a little twinge of fear. That's really good.
Like a tunch.
Tunch. A tunch? Spell tunch. Out tunch for me.
Huh? T-U-N-C-H. Tunch.
E. Can we put an E at the end.
We can put an E. That's fine.
Maybe umlaut on the U? Or like a T?
Nah, you're getting too fancy. You're getting too fancy with the umlaut. Tunch. Tunch. That's just out there. We're just kind of, it's just blue sky at this point, right? Like there's no wrong answers right now.
Yeah. Tunch is pretty good. I don't feel like it's a ship wheel, but it's something on a ship.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe that's like the thing connected to the ship's wheel, like to make it like be able to spin like it does, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think it's a ship's wheel.
Okay. Fine. Well, let's hear one out of you then.
Okay. So what we know about ship's wheel, you know, you're able to like spin it.
Sure.
Around, but you keep spinning it. I don't think it stops like when you keep spinning it that way. It just like gets to the max of like where you can turn from on that.
As far as the rudder will go.
Yeah, so something to do with the rudder. You're kind of reaching for it, so maybe like a wretch, maybe?
A wretch.
Like R-E-C-H?
I like it.
Optional E.
I like it, but it does feel like a skeleton, especially a skeleton like pirate, might call someone a wretch, and it would get confusing. You know, it's like, you filthy wretch. That's get off true. Of my ship. And it just becomes confusing.
That's a good point. But if
it's a homonym.
You are right. And a counterpoint to that, though, what if it's a singing skeleton and they're singing a song and they can rhyme wretch with wretch? And that's pretty good, actually.
I'm with it. And I think any skeleton is absolutely a singing skeleton. Like, I just can't imagine a skeleton that isn't musical in some capacity.
Right.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't have to sing. He could play the music, or he could dance even, but
play a xylophone.
Especially on his ribs. Exactly.
Yeah. As soon as you die and become a skeleton, you get that innate knowledge. It's just built in you.
I'm with, yes, for sure. Or you can play a horns, these skeletons play horns. I appreciate that there's like a high upside to a wretch, but I just see there's just too much of a low side. I think it's just the number of times a skeleton would need to use artistic, you know, like creativity in a song and rhyme wretch, or sort of, you know, have wordplay based on wretch or wretch. It's limited. I agree. There's a high ceiling, low floor for wretch.
Okay. Fair. I respect that decision on that. So we can workshop this. We can make it happen.
I think, let's see. What if we, like a barch.
Ooh. Man. I like the word barch, first of all. Like, you again, optional E at the end of it.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Throw it in. If you're an American skeleton, you throw in the E. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Like throw on the barch. I don't quite get wheel from it, but I get something. I get, like, I feel like that's something in the kitchen. Like, maybe, like, you know, you gotta get something cooked. Skeletons are cooking up something. They're getting ready for the meal.
Okay. Wait, are these skeletons eating human meat?
I've never seen a skeleton in the kitchen. I'm not sure on this.
I mean, a zombie would, for sure. I mean, I guess it goes back, like, is a skeleton a zombie? I'm strongly against that thought.
I think I'm with you.
It's different. It's different. It's very different. I couldn't tell you how or why. But I know a skeleton when I see one, and I know a zombie when I see one.
Right, right. Less eating, more fighting with a skeleton, really.
Yeah. Skeletons are like the fun kind of a bad guy, right? Zombies are just kind of scary.
Yeah, just a little bit. They're kind of like fighting, being a little bit scary on that, but they're also, you know, they got a purpose there. They're like, they're ready. Like, they're usually defensive, ready to fend off the treasure, especially against kids trying to steal it from their sleeping body. Apparently,
that's all I can see. Yeah, it's like a skeleton. The board game itself is like, the skeleton is leaning against the aforementioned ship's wheel with his foot up on a chest,
right,
like a treasure chest.
And you're just like, I feel like the kids are doing the skeleton a disservice, really, at the end. Like, the skeleton wanted to cook something on the barch later on. I would feel for the skeleton on there. Like, the skeleton's well within their right.
Yeah, just take maritime a nap on his own damn ship.
Yeah.
He's invited the ruler these kids of on the ship. It's international waters.
Yeah. Anything goes.
Come on.
Leave these, you can have casinos alone on there.
What are we doing? Yeah. All right, so it's not a barch either, then.
Yeah,
I suppose.
I feel like it needs that, like, good, like a wheel. Like, I'm looking for that good, like, extended vowel sound, like a
okay,
like a like maybe I almost said sweel, like with an S at the yeah, like with an S at the beginning, like sweel,
sweel,
yes.
I mean, ship
for short for ship's wheel.
I mean, that's a strong. That's strong. It is strong. That's stronger than I thought it would be. When you first said it, I was
like, "It sounds dumb, right?"
It sounds dumb, but the more I think about it, sweel is
pretty fun to say.
Kinda all right.
Yeah.
Because here, let's put it this way. How do we know that the word wheel isn't a nautical term that was adopted by the rest of landlubbers, right? So maybe wheel is the word for a ship's wheel,
right?
And then everyone's like, oh, that's just what we'll call our round things too here on land.
Like, we just retroactively just changed it to be like, oh, yeah, we're calling them wheels, like, now.
That's fucking it. We had a really shitty name for wheels before
we called it that. We got to take that back from the sea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they stole it from the sea. All these skeletons and sailors came up with it. And they're like, hey, that's not your word. That's our word. It's for our wheel. Nope. Yeah. Not anymore, baby.
You know, they called
what
it like
gotta
a call.
What do you got to do? Sail over us? You got to run us over with your ship? We're on land, bitch. That is the problem with
land. It's like
land
they got like. So what
lovers.
Did they call wheels? Like a conch or something like that?
Yeah,
or just
for
like
sure.
Something
just
really
something
bad?
Dumb, man. Like the way they called it like a Cheeto. Like, that's not the word. That isn't it. That ain't it, man. And everyone knew it, but it was just inertia.
It stuck.
And then these cool ass skeletons came along. Like, turn this wheel. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's what we're calling them, too. That's like, why the skeletons are so pissed off all the time.
I'm on the skeleton side, honestly, here.
Yeah, I'm with them. I mean, apart from playing, you know, like upbeat, you know, jazz or whatever skeletons are always playing and dancing, then I think that's like they have a reason to be upset.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, and they gotta live with that. Like, you know, like human generations only span so long. They can forget that it was called a Cheeto beforehand, and eventually the name wheel sticks on land. Meanwhile, these skeletons are for life, for eternity here. They know.
Yeah.
They know the truth. They're rattled by it.
Yeah, they're absolutely rattled. Fuck it. Okay, I'm I think we're coming down real pro skeleton. I think it's what we've learned here. I think it's what we've learned.
Yeah. I mean, oh, sorry, go on.
I was asking people sort of around recently, if when you die, sort of this is related to like a skeleton.
Okay.
If when you die, you got to pick, you know, what you're sort of like haunted afterlife was, and you could either pick from being a living skeleton or a ghost, what would you pick? And I'm not even going to say the vast majority, because it was literally everyone I talked to, everyone has answered ghost. And I do not understand like the despair, because I'm a skeleton all the way, baby. Like, even before, you know, this episode, I'm like, skeletons, it's it. I mean, skeletons are cool. There's no doubt. Skeletons are way cooler than ghosts.
Right.
Okay. There's just so many upsides to being a skeleton, and no one else sees it. It's all like, no, it's ghost, man. It's got to be a ghost. And I don't get it. I do not get the appeal. The massive, like the universal appeal of ghost over skeleton. What is it?
Let's review it here. Like a ghost, you know, you are in the form that you probably preferred in life in there. If you liked like one version of yourself, you were that version forever.
Are you though? Because I hear about all kinds of ghosts where they're kind of, you know. Let's say you get your head chopped off, right? Like you become like the headless horseman. You're walking around with your head in your hand. Like,
not
that
great.
Sucks.
No.
That's not cool. Your ghost reflecting your grisly death.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No. Ghost, you do have, if you have a penchant for the voyeurism, you probably want to go ghost all the way. Like, you know, you want to like kind of spy on it, but you got such a localized area that you could haunt, or, you know, like probably where close to where you died or the house that you lived in or something. And, I mean, that's great if that house is still there in 100 years, but,
like, modern, what are you trying to see? Like, what are you watching as a ghost?
I guess like real reality TV, or just watching a family grow up, maybe. It's not great. It's not great television.
It's not good. That's not good. I mean, is it your family that you're watching?
Like, not necessarily, like, you know, housing in America.
You're sticking around the house. Yeah, see.
Yeah, I was also going to say, like, it's probably going to get torn down in, like, 50 years anyway, so you're just haunting, like,
you're haunting a fucking field. What are you doing? What are you doing, man?
Yeah, it's not great. Or, you know, it becomes another house, and maybe they like, lined up the floors wrong, like the stories differently than you remember, and you're just going to be, like, stuck midway through, like, the flooring.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, corporalness and floating ghost with ghost per se, but
yeah, I mean, I feel okay with there's definitely sort of a ghost minimalist argument that would say the ghost is absolutely stuck on the same floors of the house that were there, you know, when the ghost was haunting it. But what if you get like murdered in an alley and then your ghost haunts that alley? Because lots of times ghosts seem to haunt where they got murdered in life, right? And not necessarily where they lived. So right, I had right. like 100 happy years in this home, and then right at the end somebody chopped my head off in this alley behind a Wendy's. Mm-hmm. And you're just stuck next to the Wendy's dumpster with a knife sticking out of your face.
Yeah,
for like all of eternity.
Yeah, the 14-year-old Wendy's boy who just like borrowed some smokes from like his senior coworker.
Yeah,
you're just by that the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. And what if you're okay? My guess is eternity is a long time. At some point, you're gonna want to watch some TV. Guess what, ghost? You ain't picking what's on that TV, okay? Your little ghost hand's gonna go right through that remote,
unless you're like the poltergeist kind.
No,
maybe like possess
them. No, this is not poltergeist. Fuck a bunch of poltergeists.
Okay,
they're OP. They are OP cursed entities. Okay. You're a ghost, and also you can touch shit. What? Like, okay, great. Like that's part of like the downside of being a ghost is you are intangible. Non-corporeal.
Let's go on the other side really quickly.
Okay,
though. Like
skeleton.
Skeletons, they're not like they are cursed, sure, but they can go wherever they damn well please. Like there's
exactly, and they can never, touch. They can touch whatever they damn well please.
Yeah, usually a sword and shield. Maybe they got a fight. They've got like, you know, they're like you're defending their buried treasure or something. But maybe they're going to that same Wendy's and ordering the Krabby Patty sandwich that is now at Wendy's.
Let me tell you what happens when I become a skeleton.
Yeah.
I just come on home, you know? It's like, I don't have to go live in a crypt. Just come on home. I grab my keys and I come on home.
Yeah. You can drive a skeleton.
What the fuck? You're dead. It says, no. I'm very much here. I may be dead, but this is still my house.
You can go to work as a skeleton.
I'm not going to work. I will say that, but I'm not going to.
Imagine, though, if you just like, you know, the next day you showed up, it's like, I'm dead. I'm a skeleton. Where's my paycheck?
Exactly.
Like, here's the quarterly earnings. John, my co-host, is here to help me out with this.
Yeah. I've been on FMLA while my flesh rots away, but I'm back.
Yeah. I was just trying to be respectful, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm ready for the third quarter. I got John, like you said, lined up to support me. He's a skeleton now too.
So
I don't know what you are, right? But okay, so I guess the downsides, I'm going to say as a skeleton, I feel like skeletons can see. I think that's like never, whenever you see like a spooky skeleton, it's never kind of bumping around into things, right? Like, it has an awareness of where it is.
Right,
and what's around it. So I feel like a skeleton absolutely can see. You're not going to be able to eat or anything. I mean, I guess you can eat, but it's just going to fall right out of your ribs, which is funny at first.
Yeah.
But at the same time. So there are, I mean, there are some downsides to being a skeleton for sure. But then the upsides, I mean, you get the, you can like clack your teeth at people. Yeah. I mean, that's good.
Pretty good.
You could play the xylophone on your ribs like anytime you want. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm doing that all the time. You can say stuff like bone daddy, and that's real good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
rattle
top
me bones.
Notch. Yeah. It's so many bone puns. So endless amounts of bone puns.
I feel like the only con, really, to this, and I'm with you, I think. I think I'm like pro-skeleton on this overall. I think it's the right choice to make. But I do think they, from what I've seen with skeletons, if they are in a group, if there's a group, a gaggle of skeletons,
gaggle
if you will.
Gaggle of skeletons, yeah.
They are susceptible to hive-mindedness. So, like, if you have one skeleton, you're all doing the same thing. You are all invading that town. You just kind of get caught up in it. You know, your skeleton bros come into play.
Let me put this another way, John. You have a community. That's not a downside. That's an upside. It's you've got the community of skeletons.
You've got a support group.
Yeah. I mean, how many lonely people? You're not going to be lonely when you're a skeleton because you got all kinds of skeletons and your guys are going to get together and do skeleton shit. And it's going to be awesome.
And
it's
what's more?
Awesome.
Yeah. What's more, when you meet a human, what's that? Just but like a human, like a skeleton you haven't met yet.
It's a pre-skeleton. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You know, hey, fellas, catch back up when you're skele-bros and we'll get back to it.
Yeah. Here's my card.
It's just a picture of a skeleton on the card.
It's just doing a little dance.
It says Bone Daddy in quotations. So like, is your name Bone Daddy? I'm like, no, I'm saying Bone Daddy.
You'll find me. Trust me.
Yeah, you'll find me. It's fine. It's good. See, I don't know. Again, skeleton. I think it's the way to go. I think it's the way to go.
Yeah.
I think being a ghost is just, I don't know why people are so, they want to be a ghost. I don't get it.
I think you can get away with like drawing on Social Security as a skeleton much easier.
Dude, yeah. Okay. All you have to do is to prepare for your skeleton future. If we're talking sort of the nuts and bolts of how are you going to live? You're not just if you want a place to go home to at night after a hard day of skeletoning. You just put in your will, you know, I leave my stuff to my loved ones, and then unless I am reborn as a living skeleton.
Right.
And then it just goes back to me. That's my skeleton gets everything.
Yeah. And then, your family laughs that off, and when you become a skeleton later on, you surprise the shit out of them at the estate will reading.
Yeah, probate court, they're set up to deal with skeletons. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it. Anyway, love to know what our listeners would pick. Send us an email, questions@videodeathloop.com. Would you either be a skeleton or a ghost?
You gotta pick one. No other options.
You can find us on Blue Sky. Blue Sky.
Yeah.
That hot new social media platform. At Video Death Loop. And you can send us a message there. You can send us a sky. What is a singular blue sky message called?
Oh, a blue? You know,
a bisky?
I think it'd be called skeets is what the term
skeets.
They've been using. Yeah.
Okay. Send us a skeet. That's real bad. That's
it's
real
not
dumb.
It's not
that
great.
Is
it
no
any better?
Part of a boat. I'm just going to wait for a skeleton boat to invent a social media platform so we can steal what they call their posts.
That's not a bad idea, actually. But I think they are called skeets. Sorry.
Yeah, well, send us a skeet, I guess. I guess. Good Lord help us. Send us a skeet. Make sure if you enjoyed this episode, rate us wherever you're listening to us. Tell your friends. And folks, we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.